Luke 24 today. We'll be picking up in verse 13. And for those of you using the chair Bible, it's page 1051, starting on page 1051 there. But Luke chapter 24. Let's begin our time in prayer. Father, we come to you. We stand on the promise that you are good, gracious, and merciful. That you've designed us to have a relationship with you, to love you, to enjoy your love. And though our sin has separated us from you, you have fulfilled your promise in Jesus Christ to be the perfect Lamb of God, to pay for our sins and the sins of the whole world. Restore us to a right relationship, to reconcile us to yourself, to do all these things that's impossible for us to do, but is possible with yourself. Lord, today as we look at your word, help us to see the value in all of your word, the value for our lives, for our sanctification, for us to know who you are and to reflect that in this world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever wondered what is the purpose of the Old Testament? Especially somewhere around the begats in Numbers. This guy begat that guy and that guy begat that guy, and you're going, I can't begat that much. Been there? Or maybe you're reading the law. It's like, I'm not sure I want a priest looking at my boils. Thank you. Not even sure I want the doctor to look at that. Or maybe you're in the Old Testament prophets there, especially the minor prophets, and think, I think I'm about to be depressed. Dark and gloomy. A lot of judgment. Or maybe you're in the first five books, especially Genesis there. And you go, man, I'd look a lot like Jacob, the scoundrel. Why would God even want me? The purpose of the Old Testament, especially for us today, we've got the New Testament. We've got the promise fulfilled of Christ. So is the Old Testament still useful for us today? I mean, I'm not standing up here with a turban and white robes and a big old plaque with a bunch of stones in it, right? We did not kill a lamb this morning. At least I hope we didn't. Did anybody do that? Yeah, hopefully not. Okay. It might be useful for lunch. But what use is it? The passage we're going to deal with today is going to tell us one of the uses for us today, one of the purposes for us today of the Old Testament. Begin following along with me as we read here. Luke 24, picking up verse 13, it says, that very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And if you've noticed the heading in your Bible there, this is after the resurrection of Jesus. These are two of the disciples in the greater group beyond the 12, and they're going to Emmaus. It says, verse 14, they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, what is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk? And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days? And he said to them, what things? And they said to him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and our rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, And besides, all this is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back, saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken! Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scripture the things concerning himself. The Old Testament. Sometimes it feels dry. Sometimes it feels unrelatable. Have you ever been called to leave Ur of the Chaldees and wander? Maybe it feels like that in your life, but you know, you haven't left home, maybe. Have you ever been out with the sheep and decided to compose a hymn? Sometimes it doesn't feel very relatable. But one of the purposes of the Old Testament is to present Jesus Christ. Sometimes I feel very much like the men here in this passage, and Jesus has to come and look at me through the Holy Spirit and say, O foolish and slow of heart, why haven't you believed? It's right there. But did you notice here in verse 27, it says, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets. Now, you and I often, we lump all those together as the Old Testament, and that's true. But this is a way of saying the same thing. In a Jewish mind, you would start at the beginning and then say the end. So beginning with Moses, first five books, right? And all the prophets, and by this statement, Jesus is basically saying exactly what it says here later in the verse, all the scripture, that he's covering himself, he's teaching who he is from beginning at the first book, Genesis, all the way through all those historical books, Chronicles, Kings, Samuels, through all the poetic books, the wisdom books, to the prophets. Using the two bookends to delineate the whole here. And the first thing we see is that this Old Testament is concerning Jesus of Nazareth. The whole Testament tells us about Christ. We were discussing this morning in Sunday school about Esther. The book of Esther is kind of an anomaly in the Old Testament in that God is not really directly addressed. It isn't saying God did this thing, but God was working. We were discussing how it was a fearful thing for Esther, the wife of the king, mind you, to walk into her husband's throne room and wait for him to lower the scepter, and if he doesn't, off with her head. There's God working. There's Jesus redeeming his people from certain death. Haman's plan is to kill the Jews. And even though he's not named, we still see the acts of God that are then evidenced in Jesus. The Old Testament is useful. Its purpose for us today first is to show us Jesus. Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, come back to verse 13 with me if you would. Verse 13, here are the two men. They're going away from Jerusalem. They're going, they're talking about what's happened. And it's amazing. Here comes Jesus alongside them. Of course, they can't see him. They're being prevented from recognizing him. And Jesus comes and starts the conversation. What are you two talking about, right? What is this conversation you're holding, verse 17? Then one of them, verse 18, Cleopas, said, Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who hasn't heard what's going on? Okay, we live in, well, technically it's three towns kind of conglomerate into one, right? But if something major happens, does everyone know about it? It's on Facebook in the community page real fast. The next Tuesday it's in the newspaper, right? Recent events have shown this is true. Jerusalem, though a bigger city, what has happened has made all the news. Are you the only one who has been buried in a hole and not heard what's going on? Of course, Jesus kind of knows what's going on. He experienced it, right? But they don't understand. They don't see him. And it's concerning, look over verse 19, what things he said, and the response is concerning Jesus of Nazareth. And then Cleopas goes on to describe who Jesus is. What things concerning Jesus of Nazareth? In fact, what we can find in our Old Testament. A man who was a prophet, mighty in word and deed. The first thing we see here concerning Jesus of Nazareth that the Old Testament shows us is that he is designated as the perfect prophet. Our scripture reading is page 190 there back in your chair Bible. Deuteronomy 18, what we read there, if you turn over just briefly. Deuteronomy 18 and verse 18. This promise to Moses. This promise to really even the nation here. It says, and I will, God speaking, raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And whoever will not listen to my words that he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him. If you don't listen to the words of the coming perfect prophet, you face judgment. Here we have, in the Old Testament, in beginning at Moses, we have the first promise that Messiah will be the perfect prophet. I will raise one up from among you like you. Did Moses do some pretty powerful stuff in the power of God? Have you tried to turn water into blood lately? Does it work? Have you tried to call locusts down for the whole countryside? That might get some people's attention. Maybe we should try that. Of course, I don't think I want the rest of Moses trying to lead ordinary people through the wilderness who are complaining like five-year-olds in the car. No, thanks. I'm good. Even in Luke 24, Cleopas, not fully realizing it, says, here was Jesus, concerning Jesus Nazareth, who was that prophet? Powerful and mighty indeed before the people, before the elders. They knew who he was. And they rejected him. Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, the designated as the perfect prophet, but also destined to die, verse 20. And how the chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified. Is that in the Old Testament? That Messiah should die? Have you read Isaiah 53 lately? Isaiah 53:3, it's page 729. Turn over there real quick so you can see it with your own eyes. Isaiah 53, verse 3, page 729 in the chair Bible. Says he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. This one who they thought so little of that they could just throw away. Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, how the chief priests, the rulers, they killed him. Oh, wait, wasn't it in Isaiah? The Old Testament tells us who God is, who he is in Jesus Christ. He is destined to die at the hands of his own people. Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, verses 20 and 21, that he was delegated to be the sacrifice for sin. But we had hope, verse 21, we had hope that he was the one to redeem Israel. He was the one. They were thinking politically. Do you get caught thinking politically sometimes these days? He's supposed to get rid of Rome for us. But the promise all the way back in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Page 3 in your chair Bible. Genesis 3 and verse 15. After the sin of Adam. Here, the Old Testament promises Messiah. Promises Jesus that I will put enmity, that is, make enemies of, between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. And he, that is, the offspring of the woman, shall bruise your head, that's a deadly wound, and you shall bruise his heel. Even at the sin of man, God in mercy and grace promised in the Old Testament concerning Jesus of Nazareth, that he would die at the hands of the rulers and the chief priests, that Satan would be using them to try and crush him, and that Jesus would triumph. Cleopas kind of missed it so far. Have we missed it? Have we missed all the wonder of Christ in the Old Testament? Just seems dry, a little dusty. But it's concerning Jesus of Nazareth, delegated to be the sacrifice for sin. Eve, on hearing this promise, is so wrapped up into it that her firstborn son, Cain, of course we kind of understand how he turns out. Cain, she calls him Cain because she says, I've gotten a man-child from the Lord. Here's the promise. Of course, Cain does not turn out to be the fulfillment of the promise, does he? He perpetuates more sin. But she is so wrapped up expecting God to do it. Here is the first promise concerning Jesus of Nazareth, that he would be delegated to be the sacrifice for sin. Also determined to rise from the grave. Notice how Cleopas and his fellow traveler here talking to Jesus. Verses 21 to 24 describe what's happened. And they say, but we had hoped he would be the one to redeem Israel. Moreover, some women of our company, verse 22, amazed us that they were at the tomb early in the morning and they did not find him. Why? Because even verse 21, they say, and it's the third day. Like they're expecting something on the third day, but not expecting resurrection. Did you know, Jonah 1:17, we won't turn there for sake of time at the moment, but in Jonah 1:17, what happens to Jonah? Where is he in the fish? Belly? For how long? 3 days. Matthew 12:40 helps us understand that was previewing Christ. Jesus himself says in Matthew chapter 12, verse 40, that just as Jonah, the only sign you'll get, you religious Pharisees, is the sign of Jonah, just as he was in the belly for 3 days, the Son of Man will be in the belly of the earth for 3 days. Have you missed Jesus and Jonah? I mean, it's just overflowing with the grace and mercy of God that is embodied in Jesus Christ. Who's Jonah going to? Dirty, rotten Assyrians, the terrorists. They like to cut people's heads off and put them on pikes, okay? It's a great way to deter enemies. And Jonah knows, I'm not going there, God, because if I go there, they'll hear, they'll repent, and you won't judge them. Jonah's over in that judge the terrorist camp. Is that God's mercy that he would give repentance to dirty Assyrians? Isn't that who Jesus is? Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, that it was necessary that Christ should suffer, verses 25 through 26. It was first necessary for the Christ to suffer for our transgressions. Look at verse 25. And he said to them, O foolish ones and slow of hearts to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? Do you have any hope outside the suffering of Jesus Christ? The law cannot save. It just tells us how to sin better. Because we can't keep it. Our wanters, as soon as we're told no, want to do it, right? Have you ever seen the wet paint sign and done this? Have you ever seen the sign that says, do not walk on the grass? And you're like, got to do it. The law is incapable, but it was necessary for Christ to suffer for our transgressions. Isaiah 53 again, if you go back to page 729 in the Chair Bible, Isaiah 53. Picking up at verse 4. So surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth, like a lamb that was led to the slaughter. And like a sheep that before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgressions of my people. And they made his grave with the wicked, with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. It was necessary. The Old Testament tells us it was necessary that the Christ should suffer. Because you and I, as Isaiah so beautifully put it, so aptly, are like stupid sheep. Have you seen the sheep out here? Have you seen them fall into the ditch, get pulled out by the shepherd, and jump back in the ditch? Have you seen them on the wrong side of the fence and almost get splattered by cars on the road? They're wandering, and we are like the sheep. And it's our sins, our transgressions, our iniquities that cause it to be necessary that Isaiah said that Messiah has to die. And Jesus is just talking to two of his disciples and saying, don't you understand? The Old Testament is where it tells us this was going to happen. There's promises there. We've seen some of the fulfillments, and that there's still more promises to be fulfilled. The same type of people in the Old Testament who are ornery, who go down into Egypt and say, well, that's just my sister. I think if I was Sarah, I'd be mad at Abram a lot. Don't you dare say I'm your sister again. I end up in everybody's harem. Abram deserved God's mercy and grace. But through it, we have promises of Messiah coming. Through you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed, right? It was necessary that the Christ should suffer for our transgressions. It was necessary for the Christ to die by crucifixion. Notice again verses 25 and 26. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer? Was it necessary that the chief priests be so jealous they want to get rid of the true king and kill him by one of the most excruciating means of execution? Numbers 21, if you go there, it's page 152 in the Chair Bible. Numbers 21. And this is God judging some very ordinary people. We don't like this. We don't like that. Moses, why are we out here? Are we there yet? After they've complained against God, God has sent the serpents. The people came, verse 7 of chapter 21, Numbers 21, verse 7. And the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. And everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, he shall live." So Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a pole. And if a serpent bit anyone, he would lick at the bronze serpent and live. Parallel to that, in the New Testament, we're told, as the serpent was lifted in the wilderness, so was the Son of Man. All the way back in Numbers, God dealing with ornery people. Does it sound like you? Sound like me? God, I don't like this. The only way you're going to live is you look to the cross. The Old Testament, over and over again, tells us of Jesus. Just as the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, so the Son of Man had to die. Wasn't it necessary for him to? Otherwise, we're still stuck down here with the snakes. It was necessary for the Christ to die by crucifixion. The Numbers passage there even pictures that he had to be lifted up. Hanging wouldn't do. The guillotine wouldn't do. It would be placed on a pole. It was necessary that the Christ should suffer. It was necessary for the Christ to die for sin. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? We'll ask you to turn there again by Isaiah 53. I encourage you to read it later, verses 10 through 12. He died for our sin. It pleased God to place on him our sin. It was necessary, otherwise you and I have no hope. And over again, the Old Testament shows us Jesus Christ, beginning at Moses and going through all the prophets. In fact, that's our last point, verse 27, and beginning with Moses and all the prophets. Hopefully, with the turn of the new year, just recently, you've been embarking on some consistency in spending time with God in his Word. Maybe even putting in some more effort to actually not just devotionally read, which it was fantastic and we should do, but also go a step beyond that and add some time of study. We need both. We need the comfort of devotion and sitting at his feet and just reading and just soaking in who he is. But we also need to study to really dive the depths of who he is. And could I encourage you to begin at Moses and all the prophets? Don't neglect the Old Testament. It's worthwhile for you. There's a companion message to this one that we won't get into, where Paul deals with its usefulness for us as well. that it's our teacher. Doesn't it show us some very ordinary people and how God is so gracious and merciful to them? Doesn't it show us that His love and patience is far greater than what we can expect? How long does Israel stay in idolatry before God finally says, I just have to judge you now? But even in judgment, I'm going to bring back a remnant. How about finding Jesus? If I could challenge you to consider it like one of those hidden character searches. I was just flying, I have to tell the story, I was just flying to Florida and back, and I won. I found Waldo. He was staying there at the gate, shirt and everything, and he got on my flight. I won. I found Waldo. Could you possibly this year search the Old Testament and find Jesus? I think maybe it would be really profitable for you to find that God has promised so many things in the Old Testament, and we find their fulfillment in the New. And all the promises that remain to be fulfilled, you can be now assured that since He did the first ones, He's got to do the second ones. That this one who has promised has fulfilled all we need for the forgiveness of our sins. That God loves and cares for ordinary people. So do you enjoy the Old Testament or do you neglect it? Does your Bible fall open about Matthew and never go back the other way? Do you see Jesus in the pages of the Old Testament? He's there, beginning at Moses. If I could challenge you, look for Jesus in the Old Testament over this next year. You won't be disappointed. You'll find Him. And often the New Testament will tell you where to look. Don't neglect the Old Testament. In fact, I would say embrace it. Even the begats. You know what those begats tell you? God's faithful. Generation upon generation. Those begats are part of the promise to Abram. Abram, I'm going to make of you a great nation. God can do that for Abram. What about the miracle of salvation for me? Don't neglect the Old Testament. It's worthwhile for you. It's good for you. And in it, you find Jesus. I can challenge you with that today. Let's pray and be dismissed. Father, I thank You so much for Your Word, all of it. How all of it is profitable for us. How in even the pages of, to us, so ancient history, we find overflowing promises fulfilled in the New of Jesus, the very embodiment of Your grace and mercy to us, the One who died in our place, who suffered all these things, and it was necessary for Him to do so, so that we can be free from sin. Lord, help us to enjoy it. To enjoy His life. To enjoy the instructions to believers and churches throughout the rest of the New Testament. To rejoice at the promises of Revelation. But to enjoy the promises in the Old Testament. To see the grace and mercy played out on lives of many people who are so undeserving, just like us. Lord, that we would be taught by the law about Your character, how it shows us how we don't measure up, and how freely grace and mercy has been applied to us. We thank You for Your Word. Give us a hunger and thirst for it all. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for coming today. You are dismissed.